Good morning, class.
Good morning, Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. When you're born again, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You're not born fully developed, mature spiritually when you're saved, when you're born again. It's just like when you're born naturally, you're born a baby. And if you're nourished and fed and cared for, you develop and grow up. Well, he said, as newborn babes desire what?
The sincere milk
of the word. Just like your physical body needs physical food, well, your spirit needs spirit food, spirit substance. And Jesus had said this in Matthew and also in Luke. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So what bread is to your body, God's word is to your spirit. And like one minister said many years ago, he said, it's no wonder so many Christians are so weak. He said, they feed their body three hot meals a day, but try to get by on one cold snack a week, spiritually. Well, I don't know. I'm guessing he was saying where they were going to church wasn't that hot, but thankfully today you got a lot of ministries and outreaches that you can feed. Yeah. And you can tell when something feeds your spirit. Now, you know, reasoning and intellectual stuff will stimulate maybe your thinking or your reasoning, but that's not the same as feeding your spirit.
Right. Yeah.
But when something feeds your spirit, you know it. Yes. It's a quickening on the inside.
Yes.
And it'll stir you, and it's accompanied with excitement.
Amen.
Because it's living. Yes. It's alive. Amen. It's life. Amen. And so when you find something that feeds your spirit, get some more of that.
Amen.
Right? And there are times when specific messages really stirred you and really did something for you. Listen to that again.
Yes.
Listen to that message again, maybe 10 times, maybe 50 times. Because, you know, I've eaten potatoes I don't know how many hundreds of times, thousands of times. Is that right?
Yes.
And it still works.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. Taters will still help you.
Yes.
So the word of God is better than taters. So let's receive some today. Father, we are so thankful that you love us, that you take such good care of us. And so we're asking for more and more and much more of this living word, this bread from heaven that nourishes and feeds us in our spirit and our faith, and that makes us strong in the inner man and builds us up spirit, soul, and body. And we ask for utterance, for the anointing, for direction and answers for all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you know God and,
yes,
and He knows and claims you?
Yes.
We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're going one after another through 30 different truths from the Word that reveal and that convince us, persuade us, so that we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you say it out loud? Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always.
Every day.
Every day.
Every year.
Every year.
Always.
Always.
God's will.
God's will.
For me.
For me.
You believe that?
Yes.
Based on what?
Well, that's why we're giving one after another. Our first reason, we said why we're sure of this, is because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. That's a truth. People try to, you know, change things, ignore it, twist it into something else, but He said it. It stands forever.
Yes.
And that word is first place in my life. That word is authority in my life. If He said He's my shepherd and He provides for me to the degree that I don't want or don't lack, I believe that.
Yes.
I'm not accepting anything else. And so that was just the first of our 30 great truths. And so we're down to reason number 20 in our study today. We're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the wealth of the sinner. Go with me again to Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and you'll see why we say this. Proverbs 13, we'll look again at verse 18. He said, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. You believe that?
Yes.
So what about those that receive instruction and obey instruction? Do they get poverty and shame the same? Do you see why we keep talking about these things? Because the enemy has convinced much of the church that you may really love God and endeavor to obey Him your whole life and yet be poor your whole life because that was His mysterious will and plan. That can't be if these things are true.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That can't be. That's a trick of the enemy to steal from you what's supposed to belong to you. Somebody say, I don't accept that. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. Verse 21, evil pursues sinners. If you don't want what they're getting, quit hanging out with them. Right? And concerning this, there was a time many years ago, decades ago, when my wife and I were around a group, religiously speaking, that didn't believe it was always God's will for you to be healed and that didn't believe that it was always God's will for you to have your bills paid or needs met. And we didn't know any better and they didn't know any better. And as long as we were in that group, that's what we believed, that's what we had.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yes.
But we got introduced to another group. This was in the late 70s, 1970s. A friend of mine, he's older, his little granddaughter asked him a while back, we laughed about it. She said, Grandfather, is it true you were born in the 19s? In the 19s. Because she was born in what? I don't know. You know, 2000 something, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, he said, yeah, baby, I was born in the 19s. But back in the 1970s, late 70s, Phyllis and I were introduced to a group that believe this.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Instead of believing some worn out traditional religious ideas, believe scriptures that reveal these things. And so, and after hanging out with them for years, our life totally changed.
Hallelujah.
Huh? We believe something different.
Yes.
We think differently. We speak differently. We tithe and give differently. And we live differently.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are at a completely different place. Back 40 years ago, I wasn't able to imagine how we operate now. But God will do it for anybody.
Yes.
That, but does it matter who you hang around, who you listen to?
Yes.
Oh, a companion of fools, you're going to get what the other fools get.
Hmm?
But you walk with wise, you'll be wise.
Amen.
You walk with blessed, You walk with prosperous.
Amen.
You walk with healed. Come on, y'all see what I'm saying? What do they, what are they preaching? What are they teaching? What are they saying? What are they believing? What are they doing? You want to watch the results of it. And he goes on to say, verse 21, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. And a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, you can't leave to your children what you don't have.
Hmm?
And so, is this the will of God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
The word man is in italics. So, good person, good man, good woman, good people leave an inheritance to their children's children. That's the next two generations. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up. Now, that term is significant, like all of it, but laid up, stored up. For, and the contrast is here, the wealth of the righteous is laid up for their kids. But the wealth of the sinner is not laid up for their kids. It's laid up for the righteous. Can you see this?
Yes.
And like we got into some yesterday, this is talking about generational wealth. And it's not something men do. It's something God does.
Amen.
And that really, that makes all the difference now. Because you'll hear people trying to justify what they call reparations by scriptures like this and scriptures in the Word. You know, God told Abraham that his seed was going to be in a place where they would be oppressed for 400 years. And then he would bring them out. And when he did, they would not go out empty. He would bring them out with great substance. And he did. And some people have taken, situations like that and said, well, see there, reparations. They needed to be paid for those years of slavery that they were under. No, this was not something that the Israelites forced the Egyptians to do, or that some other government body or anybody forced them to do or to pay them. This was judgment. And something that God did, not what men call reparations. And you'll even, people will take passages like the book of Acts where it said they had all things common. And they sold what they had and distributed. And people try to justify modern ideas of communism and socialism and saying, well, yeah, we should distribute it equally so everybody have something. But what they're talking about is taking it from people.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
And basically distributing it to themselves.
That's right.
You watch and see.
Yeah.
That's what has happened over and all they say they're going to distribute it to. That's where it goes. But no, anytime you are, as human beings, you're taking something from somebody against their will, that ain't God. I said, that's not God. That is not God. And you are not qualified to do that. Let me talk to you just a little bit about reparations and racial things. You know, people say, well, you hear sometimes people say, well, the people with dark skin should be repaid for the slavery of their ancestors. Well, you're talking about people who never owned slaves repaying people who never were slaves. Come on, are you listening? And in order to be fair and right with that, there would have to be extensive DNA analysis. Right? And I assure you, regardless of the tint of your skin, you analyze your DNA carefully, you have both slave owner DNA and slave DNA. Huh? So what happens is when you get it all figured out, you will wind up paying yourself. Now, I know some people don't like that, but racism is connected to belief in evolution. If you believe in the difference in the races, you believe in evolution. You don't believe in the Genesis account. And the truth told, our nation was judged for slavery. It was called the Civil War. And some 750,000 people died. And it was Americans because both sides were American. And the South was judged, and the whole country was judged. And besides that, as Christians, if you say, you owe me, and you need to pay me, well, the scripture, Jesus taught about the man that, owed the $1 billion debt and then went and grabbed the guy that owed the $100 debt. If you demand that people pay you what you think they owe you, you become liable for what you owe. And this is not, if you say you owe me, you got to pay me, there's no forgiveness in that. And if you won't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So you best forget about all this. Y'all with me or not? No, he's not talking about reparations. And this is not something men can even begin to do right anyway. Because you're talking about reparations for slavery. Well, slavery has been going on for thousands of years. Why stop at that juncture? You'd need to go back to every kingdom and empire that's been in the earth had slavery. So where do you stop? Where do you go back to? Where's forgiveness? Can you see what I'm talking about? Where's forgiveness? If you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. Right? And notice the language in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, debt is what you owe. And we need to know that God has forgiven us of the greatest debts of all. And if He can forgive us of our debts, we can forgive other people. Is that right?
Yes.
And we got enough issues in our current generation without digging up the past generations and trying to sort all that out. Like I said, you wind up paying yourself anyway. And I know some like it, some don't like it. But a good person, man or woman, is going to leave an inheritance to what? Their children's children, and the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. Now, that is not reparations. That's not something men are demanding of other men. This is God judging the sinner and the ungodly. And instead of all their work and labors winding up in the hands of their children like it's supposed to do with the righteous, it won't. It will wind up in the hands of the righteous. Now look with me another scripture to establish this. Go to Proverbs 28 and 8. 28:8 says, he that by usury, and that's interest, and unjust gain, Proverbs 28:8, increases his substance, he will gather it for him that will pity the poor. So the people who are accruing and accumulating wealth and riches through unrighteous practices and through ungodly ways, their children and grandchildren are not going to enjoy that. Because there's a curse on them. And they're actually putting in the work for somebody else. They're gathering it, they're accumulating it. And you notice that our text said, laid up, the wealth of the sinners laid up. Well, in order for it to be laid up, it had to be gathered up. It's gathered for who? Those that'll pity the poor. Now see, these people were taking advantage of the poor. But it's going to wind up in the hands of people that care about the poor. And that will help the poor. Notice in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, "There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. This is from the hand of God." Verse 26, "For God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail to gather and heap up that he may give to him that is good before God." So, like we had mentioned in yesterday's class, I believe it was, we're talking about generational blessing and increase and wealth. God's plan is for His people to increase more and more, us and our children, as Psalm 115 said. And we need to have more of this mentality. To God, 50 years is no time at all. To God, 100 years is no time at all. To Him, 1,000 years is as a day. And a day is 1,000 years. So something taking 50, 100 years to happen and accrue and develop, that's just normal with God. And we need to always be thinking increase steadily over the years. You'll see people who are missing God are always starting over. Did you hear that? That's a sign of folks who are missing God. Because God's will doesn't change, and His plan doesn't change. And and the path of the just is like the shining light that gets what? Brighter and brighter and better and stronger. When you're on God's path and you stay, did you hear that word? You stay on God's path, you should be continually increasing in knowledge, in light, faith. Is that right? And yeah, maybe you didn't just get a great place to live in a week or two, but you got a place of your own, and then you were able to go to a better place, and then you were able to get your own, and then you were able to get a little land. You see what I'm saying? And maybe it took 20 years, or maybe it only took 10, but you're adding to, and you're building. But see, when you jump out from where God had you, and you go do something on your own, then you start from scratch again. Can you see that? And you get built up just a little bit, and somebody offends you or makes you mad or didn't promote you or acknowledge you the way you wanted. And so you get upset. You say, I don't have to put up with this. So you jump out and you go over here and you start over again from scratch. And this is the enemy's trick. Can you see this? You keep doing this throughout your life. Next thing you know, you look up and you're old and you don't have a lot of time left. And you have very little to show for it because you haven't built, you haven't increased. Say it out loud, God's will,
God's will
is increase. More and more. Us and our children. We're supposed to advance and build upon. And you get this done and get this paid for and taken care of, and then you add to it. And then you build some more on it, and you increase some more spiritually and family and ministry and church, financially, materially. And at the end of your life, you've run your race, you've finished your course, and you got something to leave to the next group.
Amen.
Come on, can you see this? Amen. Something that has accrued and built up. But the sinner is not going to be blessed that way. And even though it might seem like they accumulated a bunch of stuff, it's not going to benefit theirs. And it's going to wind up in the hands of people that will have mercy on the same kind of folks that these people took advantage of. Can you see that? Ecclesiastes 2:26. God gives to a man that's good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives travail to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. The proverb also said, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And he adds no sorrow. See, here, travail, you hear that? Sorrow with it. Other translations say hard work can add nothing to it. See, we need to get rid of this idea that hard work is the answer to everything. It is not. There's a lot of people who have worked hard their whole life and died broke. It takes more than that. Now, there's an aspect called diligence, and there's blessing attached to it. But no, God didn't want us having to work five jobs just to put food on the table and wearing ourselves out and breaking ourselves down. No, there's something you're supposed to be busy at, doing what you're being diligent at your call and your ministry. But the blessing of the Lord is what makes you rich. It just adds to you without your sweating. Without your travail. You didn't get it through travail. God added it to you. Remember, we studied about the promised land a while back. He said, I'm giving you houses you didn't even build. Orchards and vineyards you didn't even plant. Wells you didn't dig. Houses full of all good things Amen. That you didn't build. Amen. You just brought your clothes and moved in.
Amen.
This is God's will.
Yes.
Not that you seek that first, you seek Him first. But then He adds these things to you. Somebody say add. And He keeps adding, and if you stay on track, it keeps increasing until at the end of your life, you have accumulated something to leave to the next generation and the next. Somebody say, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. My time's up again today. Say it out loud. I live by faith.
I live by faith.
I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. Giving glory to God. Come back tomorrow. We'll find out what this next part I was about to read. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.